Coffee Conversations with Cinti is brought to you by Influential, the new strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategic crafted frameworks on how to implement campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations with Cinti. And as usual, I've got a very special guest in the studio. Nafisa, how are you?
I'm good, Cinti.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go any further, everybody listening to us, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We would like you to be a huge part of this conversation online and everywhere else. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm a freelance technology journalist. I've been covering tech for about 12 years now. I do business and consumer tech.
Okay.
And I also have a blog on the side, but I don't always have time to update it because I'm busy writing.
Okay, what's your blog called?
Wired to the Web.
Ah, all right. Okay, it's an interesting name.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and I write for some of the big titles in South Africa, like Tech Central, Sawubona, Mail and Guardian, City Press.
All right.
Yeah.
And what else have you done that's so interesting in the tech and blogging space?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
My work keeps
I guess everything is.
Yes, I'm always reviewing a phone, for example. There's always something new coming out. Sometimes because I'm a one-woman show, I can't always review everything.
Okay, so you're literally wired to the world.
You see, that blog name came about in the early, 2008-ish.
Yeah.
Now everything's wireless and I love being wireless. So it's actually quite ironic. I actually thought about that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So maybe you're up for a rebrand.
Maybe.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right, so let's jump right into it. Your bio reads like a dream, and you're one of a very few prominent women in the tech industry. How was it breaking into it? Was it any difficult?
So for me, my story is very unique. Everybody asks me how I got in and how can they get in.
Yeah.
With me, I was literally in the right place at the right time. I say that because I used to work at a travel website and I always loved tech from the time I was a teenager, before teens.
Okay.
So I used to write about tech in my spare time for reporter.co.za. They don't exist today, unfortunately.
Right.
But so yeah, I used to do it for fun and donate the little money they used to give me to charity because I was just trying to, you know, for the experience and build myself up.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize they had submitted me then for a Telkom ICT award.
Okay.
And at that award function, and a publisher saw me then, offered me a full-time job. It was ITV.
All right.
So yeah, so I was just carrying on with my passion. Someone saw it. I was nominated for an award, and then they thought, you know, let's offer her a full-time job.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And look at how you turned out.
Yeah.
And you know, the tech is a male-dominated industry. Was it always easy for you to find acceptance and to find your own niche, so to speak?
So I think it also depends a lot on personality. I don't feel like I needed to be accepted. I was always confident about my skill set and what I could do.
What you could offer.
Yes,
well,
and I knew that because I knew my tech knowledge, I could write about it. So I never doubted myself.
Yeah.
However, early on when I started in 2007, I think, I was one of the handful of women in the room when I went to any event. So I was a bit slightly, I thought, oh, this is so unfortunate. Why can't there be more women? And half the women also were PR. So I'm lucky enough now to say that I've seen the way things have grown, and there are definitely more women that I'm seeing at events today. So that has changed.
Okay, that's a good progression,
definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And during the digital transformation, which obviously has happened in the last couple of years, you've obviously fallen upon influencer marketing. How powerful is influence in driving a narrative?
Okay, so that's an interesting question because I don't call myself an influencer. I know there's a big rise in it, and so over the years, initially when it first came out, I was sort of not very accepting to it, but now that we've evolved and it's now 2019, I fully accept influencer marketing. I understand there's a space for it in the industry, there's a space for everything, and absolutely there's a place for that. And also personally, I'm not big on putting ads, so I block all the ads on my phone. And I do understand publishers need to make money, so I'm very open to the fact that influencer marketing is here to stay. It's paid content, and as long as it's clearly marked, I'm happy that that's good enough.
Okay, and from where you sit, what is the difference between a journalist and an influencer? They the same? Are they similar? Are they complementary?
So some people say journalists are the original influencers, and I suppose that does make sense in a way, because before people, when we were younger, we used to get our news from the newspaper. We were easily influenced by the TV, magazine, newspaper.
No, the best part was you had to wait for some time to get your morning paper.
Exactly. And people used to look forward to that or Sunday morning.
It was an all experience.
Yeah. Look, you know what? I think the way influencer marketing has come about, it sort of changed the definition. But I think journalists wouldn't call themselves influencers. They are influential, yes, but
okay.
We're not influencers because we're obviously right. not being paid to say what we say.
So are you maybe an unwilling partner in the influencer marketing space?
If that's what you want to label me as, you know what, yeah, I mean, if people want to know what I'm doing and if they trust my opinion, then maybe yes, I am.
And you're always happy to be able to help?
Absolutely. If you ask for my help, anything tech, I'm happy to help them.
Okay. And how has social media helped you to gain a new type of audience and to grow that audience from the moment you started up to now?
Yeah, so I got onto Twitter very early. I think it was 2008.
Okay.
Before, when it was just like very few South Africans.
Yeah.
And I've seen it grow over time, and people have obviously, they are using it differently, but I'm glad I have this outlet because people who follow my work on print, I write a lot on print.
Yeah.
So sometimes they want to connect with the journalist who they follow because you can't wait once a month for this magazine to come out.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important for freelance journalists and obviously non-freelance, full-time ones, to be on Twitter to always be active and post about, like, if I'm in tech, I find that I need to be active in tech and always share my opinion maybe now and then.
All right.
Because you want people to know that you want to still be relevant and you want to be on top of people's minds. And
exactly.
They always remember you as being the authority on your subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think social media definitely plays a huge role for me.
And
both in
that.
Yes.
Yeah. And what sort of following do you have? Is it strictly tech or...
According to my Twitter stats, it says primarily tech, so I know that's my audience. That's why I try not to diverse too much. Well, sure, I'll tweet now. If I eat somewhere interesting, very occasionally I'll post pictures of my food.
Okay, so that there is no content fatigue, obviously.
Yeah, and also you don't want to be one-dimensional and boring.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I do tend to put other things, like sometimes lotion, whatever.
Okay.
You know, I try not to get...
To plug onto whatever conversations are happening.
And I don't get too political, but I do mention my travel and my food stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so more of your lifestyle-y type of content.
Yes.
And how important to you is the right type of following?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Not a lot of people worry about that. So I'm very weird in the sense that I actually look at the people who follow me, and if I find they spam me, or if I find there's some random without a profile picture from another obscure country, I actually block them because I like to keep my audience targeted and I know that they're the tech and South African, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are your views on the size of your following versus the quality?
That's such a subjective thing. If people, like, when on the other side, PR thinks, oh, following means a lot.
Yeah, so you need to have a million and
you're
a big deal.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. I mean, like, mine is modest, 5,000, 5,500 for a journalist.
Yeah.
Some people have over 100,000. But also, if you look at the engagement, my account versus a bigger account.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm happy with the kind of engagement I get.
Yeah,
people comment, retweet, whatever. Although, I know it may seem superficial to some people, but I'm happy with my engagement with my amount of following. Versus other accounts that have over 100,000, and I see they barely get a retweet or just one or two, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like I know what I'm doing is for the right audience.
Okay. And obviously what you're trying to get at is to make sure that you are effective and putting your messages across.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And there used to be a time when journalists were the first call for anything exciting. And increasingly more people are getting news or the lowdown from their peers. What is the role of each one of those parties in terms of getting a message out?
As I mentioned earlier, there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to their friends, but they're also going to listen to the trusted authority. Like, you know, they're like, oh no, but also this is what the journalist says. And also, when it comes to checking, vetting stuff and confirming, verifying sources, your friends aren't obviously going to be that thorough.
Yeah.
They can easily make a mistake and that's okay. But you as a person should know that, you know what, the journalist, or if you're working in a newsroom, you have something, you know, you were trained in a certain way, and you won't just share something without verifying, I hope.
Exactly.
You know, so there's always that you can't just take everything on value that you see on your feed and believe it. We all know there's a big problem with that.
Yeah, and in the age of fake news, how does that play in the journalism sector as opposed to in an influencer perspective?
The fake news thing always comes around political stuff.
Political stuff.
So you have
okay.
to be aware of that.
Oh yeah, that's actually a very nice observation.
Yeah. So I think in terms of tech, no one maliciously would put fake tech news unless you're like one of the influencer types and you by
that's
mistake.
That's an interesting insight. Yeah.
But like by your mistake, you shared the wrong spec. I have seen that a lot of times. Like
okay.
If I go to an event, I click the hashtag to see what people are saying. I like, you know, if there's some time, I do that.
Yeah.
And I notice people get the specs wrong, and I just roll my eyes, thinking, well, at least if you're gonna come here and tweet about it, at least double check the facts.
Yeah.
Personally, that's something I'm very thorough about. I make sure I double check before I hit tweet, because I don't want to I try to make it one good tweet, and I want all the newsworthy stuff,
yeah,
things that people want to know, you know. So I make sure the facts are all there, like all checked, specs right.
And so how important is it for you to stay authentic and true to self and to subject as well?
That is my number one thing. I have to be, as a journalist, I want to be the credible source. That's my whole what is the word I'm looking for? Reputation.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
I say anything without researching it, then people are not going to trust me, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's very important, and like I know this is very a touchy subject, but I don't sell my social coverage. I would never sell a tweet.
Okay.
That's just
all right.
what I choose.
Okay.
Because I'm authentic. My opinion is not for sale.
Yeah.
But the lines are blurring now because people are now tweeting stuff and they're saying it's an ad. So maybe for a competition, that's different because it's not like I'm sharing my opinion and that's for sale. If I'm just saying, hey guys, enter this competition, maybe that's different.
Yeah.
But I have not sold any tweets.
Any
so
tweets
being authentic is important.
Do you see the lines blurring between influencers and journalism in general?
Actually, no.
Or there's always going to be a space for
each. There's
always
a space for each, and everybody knows you're following a journalist and this is what you expect from a journalist.
Yeah.
And then you don't want the journalist, the person you follow, to make silly mistakes. I mean, after how many strikes are you going to say, well, this journalist is not credible?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but between the two, I don't think there's going to be... there's no blame.
All right. And what one piece of advice for women would you have, those who want to become journalists and also become as big as you are?
I think if you have the passion, you obviously have to have some interest in tech. You don't want to just decide, hey, let me write about tech, but then not
and
know anything.
And you know nothing about
but
it.
But at the same time, if you're willing to learn, then you must read up about it.
Yeah.
Familiarize yourself with the lingo, watch YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, but don't obviously copy someone else. Just try, learn the lingo, basically.
Yeah.
You don't want to sound like a fool using big words that you don't understand, because
exactly,
I think that definitely
yeah.
comes across.
And your following will call you out because
they've
got some level of knowledge
on
as
Twitter,
well. Yeah. Twitter is a hard hit area. Yeah.
But I also add, so if you do have the passion, I think start a blog.
Yeah.
Even though everyone's like, oh, blogs are dead, but you know what? If you have a passion about a subject and if you want an outlet, a blog is a very good place to do. If you don't know who will spot you in the future and what opportunities may come from it, I mean, look at me, like I was writing for fun and it became my career.
Yeah.
So you never know who's going to see it and what opportunities will come your way.
Exactly. And for influencers or anybody who wants to become an influencer, what nuggets can you leave for them?
Oh, see, that's difficult because for influencers, I feel like they want to have a good time, yes. And like, how often have you seen an influencer say something negative? So I can't advise someone how to become an influencer.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you want to be an influencer person in a specific niche, if it's tech, at least like I said with women who want to become focused on tech journalism.
Yeah.
At least learn your subject, know what you're saying. Don't make comments about things you're not familiar with, I think.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And can I just mention one more thing?
Please go ahead.
So a lot of
and don't let your coffee get cold.
I think with the phones as well, like, if, for example, you use an iPhone, don't go and become an influencer for an Android brand. That's one of my biggest crimes. Like, everybody can see what phone you tweet with.
Exactly.
Don't now be a Twitter, an iOS person and suddenly say, well, now I'm promoting this Android. We all know. We can see.
Exactly.
So if you've obviously posted it, not just a phone, even a laptop.
Yeah.
Like, if you use a Windows or a MacBook, try to be authentic. If it's a partner with a brand or product you've used before, and maybe that's my advanced
tip. So it must all be authentic, and it must be
first user. Yes,
you bring a very interesting dimension. Over the weekend, I was reading about Nasty C, the rapper.
Yes,
he is apparently working with X, the Dio, whatever.
Yeah,
and so he posted this something and is talking all those niceties about the Dio. And the first comment on there was like, you guys must think we are stupid. We all know he is not using that deal. So can you see?
Yeah. Everybody knows. You see, the thing is, if you are an influencer or a large follower, you can't treat your followers like they're stupid. Everybody knows. If they've been following you for a while, they know.
Yeah.
He used this phone this month. He said this.
Yeah,
and
we
now
see,
he's now saying
we
this.
We saw him with something else. Exactly.
People are not stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't actually go and promote something you've never ever used. I think that's where the... it becomes innocent.
Exactly, exactly. Nafisa, thank you so much for joining us. Let's continue this chat outside of this. Have another coffee, take a couple of selfies, and enjoy this morning. To everybody else at home, thank you so much for joining us. You can download this and other episodes off of iTunes and Spotify. We love you, but unfortunately, we have to leave you. Nafisa, it was a great session. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.